A few announcements before we start. First of all, I just want to say again, for those who didn't hear last time, we're planning a big Siyum for next year, January 5th. Put in your calendar for the Siyum of all of Shas. We're going to have a Siyum of Shas for women. Men will be invited also, but a big celebration of women's learning. So put it down in your calendars. The second thing is this Sunday, there's at the Biblical Museum of Natural History, they're having an explanation specifically for Daf Yomi learners about a presentation and discussion of the unusual mammals, birds, reptiles, and insects in this week's Daf. Okay, it sounds like it's not necessarily dealing with everything we've been learning in Chulin, but things specifically come up this week. If anyone's interested, it's Sunday night, this Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. It's in Beit Shemesh? Okay, in Beit Shemesh. Okay, the telephone number 073-213-1662. You can probably find it online also. Okay.
So we get grasshoppers, not cows.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to start now at the very bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Bet. We had a whole bunch of discussions yesterday, opinions at the very end of the daf as to what is a sign of a trefa. Is it 30 days? Is it 12 months? It's right, can't live 12 months. Is it that it's Eina Yoledet? Or is it that this there's deterioration as opposed to improvement? A bunch of different opinions. So now we're going to have Rav Acha Bar Yaakov at the end of the daf. Am Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, halacha, trefa, yoledet, umashabachat. Okay, the halacha is that a trefa can still give birth, and the improvement, the situation of the trefa can improve. Okay? So now, based on that statement, we're going to see this. We're going to have two versions. I've charted it out on the sheet. The first version is going to follow Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who holds that a trefa is yoledet umashabachat. And the second lashon is going to have, we're going to have basically a discussion between a Meimar and a Ravashi, and the discussion is going to be different, and the version of it is going to be different, whether you hold that a trefa could actually give birth, or maybe you disagree with Rav Acha, who thinks a trefa couldn't give birth, in which case you're going to have to understand it all in a different way. Okay, so that's the premise of the first part of today's daf. So the first version goes according to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, who says that a trefa is yoledet umashabachat. Amar Amemar, Amemar says, Hane bai de trefa, the beitzim in a trefa bird, okay, there's a trefa bird, and she lays eggs, okay, a hen. She lays eggs. So, shichla kama asira, the first batch that comes out, basically the ones that were already, fertilized before she became a trefa, are asuot. Okay? Mikan ve'et, why is that? So Rashi says, because ubar yerech imo, okay, we've learned this before, which is an ubar is considered just like its mother, in which case, if the mother became a trefa, whatever's inside the mother at that given moment is going to be like the mother. So any eggs that were already there are trefas. Mikan va'elach, but anything that was fertilized after that, havale zevizegorim. We've learned this halacha before. What is zevizegorim? It means when you have one component that's asur, which is the trefa, and one component that's mutar, which is the male, which is not a trefa, we're assuming. So two factors contributed to this egg being fertilized, and therefore, zevzegorim is mutar, and therefore the second slew of eggs, meaning whatever wasn't in the bird at the time, is going to be mutar. Okay, those are permitted because of the concept zevzegorim mutar. We're going to see in the second version, there's a machloket, is zevzegorim mutar asur. But here, we're going to assume, okay, right now, the truth is that maybe I shouldn't have even mentioned that, it's not so relevant, but in any case, because of zevzegorim mutar, says Abaye, that's going to be allowed, the second batch. Etive Ravashi la'meimar. Ravashi says ta'meimar, but wait, it says in, okay, now there's a debate. Is this based on a Mishnah, machloket, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, about a Beitza Nevela, okay, Beitza of a Nevela, or, okay, and that would be a Mishnah in Ediot, or according to Rashi, it's based on a machloket, Rabbi Lezer b'Chachamim, about the Vlad of trefa animals. So there's a bit of a debate about what exactly the machloket is. But in any case, whichever way the machloket goes, they both agree. Bebeitzat trefa sha'asura. Okay, both sides of the machloket, again, whether you say it's one machloket or whether you say it's a different machloket, that's the subject of debate of Rashi and Tosfot. But if there's a machloket about something, okay, they would both agree. Bebeitza trefa sha'asura. Okay, the beitza of a trefa is forbidden. Mipnei shegadla b'isur. Okay, the beitza of a trefa animal is going to be forbidden because it was grown in a, you would say like this, it was brought up in a bad environment, right? So here, it was a trefa, the trefa was hatched in a forbidden environment, basically. Or not hatched, it was created in a forbidden environment. So what would this sound like? If it came up in a forbidden environment, right, if it was created in a forbidden environment, that sounds like zev zegorim, even though there were two parts to it, right? Normally we say if there's two factors contributing, the hen and the rooster is permitted, and the hen is a trefa, so zev zegorim is mutar. This seems to imply that a beitza of a trefa, now again, what exactly is the case of a beitza of a trefa, but it sounds like the beitza that was fertilized in a trefa hen is asura, because why does it sound that way? Because it says mipnei shegadla b'isur, because it was grown in a forbidden environment. So what do they answer? Hatam b'desafna me'ara. That's only when it was fertilized from the ground. Okay, we've seen this before, where there was this concept that things, you know, eggs could come. Now this actually is true. There's fertilized eggs and there's non-fertilized eggs, right? We eat eggs that don't come from males, right? The ones that do turn into chicks, as far as I understand all this. But so they say the ones that were not fertilized by a male, that's what it's referring to, okay? You can't eat a beitz of a trefa, shegadla b'isur, is an unfertilized egg. Okay, there was no male. And that's why it's not zev zegorim, and you have no question now. Okay, because the beitza trefa shasura mipnei shegadla b'isur only was created from the mother, right? The mother basically created the egg on its own and not from a male. So now they say...
It's not the same thing with animals, right?
No, it's different from animals.
Yeah, because it's sort of the ubar would automatically be a sur or trefa.
Again, bar kiyerechimo is talking about something that was in there at the time the mother became a trefa. That's not what we're discussing now. That's the shichlakama. We're discussing eggs that were created after she was already a trefa. So you're saying if an animal,
or an injured animal,
you would say again those devzegorim and mutar. Yeah.
I would think that they would say that the machmir is that there's no such thing as partial trefa.
Right. No, I think, in other words, those who say zev zegorim is mutar, I would assume would say the same thing there. Okay, so again, what do we have? Amemar, let's just start from the beginning. Amemar said, again, this is assuming, now let me go back and connect this to the beginning, because now you'll see why it's connected. We started with Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who said the halacha is trefa yoledet umeshabachat, right? That a trefa, just pass the sheep, if anybody needs. A trefa yoledet umeshabachat, meaning a trefa can get pregnant and give birth. So if a trefa can get pregnant and give birth, then the case that we're talking about here would be where she actually started producing eggs. If you hold that she can't produce eggs, that she's ena yoledet, then you wouldn't be able to explain everything this way. Because this is all based on assuming she can still create eggs, and then the question is just, what's the status of those eggs? So then we have a difference between the shechlakama, which is the eggs that were already inside, and there we're going to say they're a problem because ubar ki yerech imo, right? That basically anything in the mother is like the mother, okay? At the time she became a trefa, whatever eggs were inside are problematic, but anything that came after is a product of her and a male, and therefore it's fine. And if it's only a product of hers, it wasn't fertilized, then it will be a problem because you don't have the heter of sevzegod. So we have the braita, shavim bebeitzat trefa sha'asura, mipnei shegadla b'isur, and we're going to say that's talking about when there's no male. Okay, but then they say, instead of answering that answer, they could have had a different answer, which is, we already had two cases. Shechlakam is aser, mikam ba'elach it's mutar. So we said this seems to contradict the second part, because we said it was mutar. Amemar said it was mutar, and the Brita seems to say it's asur. But why don't you say that the Brita is talking about v'lishan le'ba shechlakama? The simpler answer would have just been to say, when the Brita says, be'beitzat trefash asurah, what will we assume? That must be talking about the eggs that were inside her already, the shechlakama. So what do they answer? No, it doesn't make sense with the words, because im ken gadla, why would it say gadla b'isur? Gadla sounds like it was kind of created. And, you know, so therefore they say gamra mibayle. It should have been, it finished b'isur, right? When it hatched already, then it was a problem. So it doesn't make sense with the words there, and that's why they didn't answer that answer. Now they continue to question. Elaha de Tanya, but there's a brayta that says, Vlad Trefa, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Lo Yikrav Lagabe Mizbeach, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yikrav. There's a machloka between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yoshua about the Mikdash, basically. Can you bring the following thing on the Mizbeach? So what is this? A Vlad that's born from a Trefa. Here's your question, Naomi, about a vlad of a trefa animal. Okay, the offspring, can it be brought on the Mizbeach or not? Now, if you're a Meimar who holds, like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that a trefa yoledet umashabachat, what would you explain this about? B'may kamiflagei b'shenitrefa ulevasof ibra. We're going to assume that the machloket is a case where first she became a trefa, and then she got pregnant. And that's, yep, right. We're going to see if you hold that she can't possibly do that, then you're obviously not going to explain the bright in that way. And that's going to be the second reading. But the first reading of this is that we're going to say it's a case where first she became trefa, then she became pregnant, and then there's a machloket between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Can you bring this animal on the Mizbeach? What would be the basis of the machloket? Here we get to what I said before, that there's a machloket, this is a classic case of ze v'ze gorem. You have a mother who's a trefa, you have a father, right, the male, is not a trefa. So that's two things causing it, one asur, one mutar, right? And we said before it was mutar. So now we're going to see that when a Amemar said ze v'ze gorem is mutar, that is a source of machloket, and he holds like Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, so Rabbi Lezer, who says, Lo yikrav l'gabei mizbeach, savar, ze v'ze gorem asur. And that's why you can't bring another mizbeach. Rabbi Yoshua savar, ze v'ze gorem mutar. He holds, this is permitted. And then a Meimar basically simply holds, like Rabbi Yoshua, the Tana. Okay, ihachi, but now we have a question on this. And that's why they brought this in the first place. They brought this as a question, because ihachi, ademiflegei l'gavoa, liflegu l'hedyot. It doesn't make any sense, though, because if the whole machloket is based on zev zeh goreim asur mutar, why did they only bring it up in the context of can you bring it on the Mizbeach? They should have brought it up in the context of, right, a more common occurrence, which is can you eat it or not? Because what did we just say, right? If you say zev zeh goreim is mutar, then the animal is permitted to be eaten. If you say zev zeh goreim asur, then you're going to say, because the mother's a trefa, this animal's a trefa, the offspring, in which case it's forbidden to eat. So why would you have just said, if the whole machloket is zev zeh gorem asur mutar, it should be a much more relevant machloket in the case of eating. So why did they specifically bring up the machloket in the case of gavoa? And therefore, it doesn't make so much sense that that's what's going on here. However, the Gemara answers, no, you could still explain that it's for both. And the reason why it said it specifically about korbanot is because lahodiacha kocho de Rabbi Yoshua, dafilu legavoa namishari. One could say maybe this animal's not a trefa. However, because of zev zeh gorem, however, maybe you would think you can't bring it on the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach, you need a higher level, right? So it's to tell you, Rabbi Yoshua is even willing to say legavoa, this offspring is okay. So then they say, why don't you say the reverse? The liflu legula hedyo, why wouldn't you then say, let's show the machloka by hedyo, lehodiacha kochod Rabbi Eliezer, tafilu lehedyo nami asur. You could say the exact opposite logic. You could say, if they wanted to show the koach of one of the sides, well, maybe it should show even, the Rabbi Eliezer thinks it's even asur in achila lehedyot. So what do they answer? Koach de hetera adifle. We've seen this many times. Koach de hetera adifle. They'd rather, it's more koach to show someone who's willing to be matir. And therefore, they specifically want to show you that Rabbi Yeshua is even matir in the case of gavoa, and that's why it was gavoa, and therefore there's no question. Okay, last line of the version before we get to the next version, which is basically a summary of how a Maamar explains the Braita that they brought to contradict him, that Rav Ashi brought to contradict. Umodim bebeitza trefa shasura bedesafna me'ara dechad gorimhu. Right? So again, when we have this Braita that they both agree about a beitza of a trefa, that it's forbidden, is talking about when it's not a fertilized egg. Okay, where there's only chag gorem, but in fact, if it was zevze gorem, it would be mutar. Okay, that's the premise of a maamar. So now they say, Rav Acha savrala ke Rav Acha bar Yaakov, umatne la l'dam maamar ke damaran. So Rav Acha, everything we learned right now is the opinion of Rav Acha. His version of the maamar Rav Ashi discussion was based on his understanding of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that a trefa is yoledet umeshavacha. And therefore, we got to all these conclusions that these cases could be talking about a trefa that conceived while it was already a trefa. But now we're going to see that Ravina lo savrala k'drav Acha bar Yaakov. Ravina didn't hold that way, and therefore, and thought that a trefa can't actually give birth, like we saw yesterday. Uma ne'la l'da amemar b'dahai lishna. He read the whole entire discussion. He had a different version of the whole discussion between them. Okay, and that's why I charted them out so you could see the differences. Amar Amemar. So again, Amemar starts out and says, and Hane Be'e, now here we start already the first difference. The first case was Beitza of Trefa. Okay, Beitzim that came from a Trefa. Here, we have Beitzim Disefek Trefa. Okay, we're not sure if they're a Trefa. Okay, Deshich Lakama, the first... is we don't know if the animal was a trefa or not. So what do we say? The first set of eggs that come out that were already in, mashin on lehu, we leave, because we can assume she can lay those eggs because they were already in her body. But what can't she do? She can't generate new eggs. So therefore, if she's really a trefa, then as we don't know if she's a trefa or not. So what's the best way to figure it out? If we assume that she can't get pregnant, right, or create more eggs, I hadra vita'ana, if she continues to generate more eggs, sharyan, then we know that she's not a trefa. And then we put the first slew aside and we wait and see. If we see that she can create more eggs, then they're going to be mutar, the first batch. Vilo asiran. So here, the question is not about the second. The second ones are obviously fine because they've proven now that, right, nobody has an argument about that. There's a distinction there. The first ones are the ones that are suffic. We don't yet know if she's a trefa or not. If she's a trefa, then these eggs that are inside are going to be a problem. Because yerech, right? Because what did we say? Yerech, ubar yerech imo. Right? They were already inside her. And therefore, right? But we don't know if she's a trefa or not. So we have to wait and see. Okay, and that's our test because he holds that she can't be yoledet. Comes etive Rav Ashi la Maamar. Rav Ashi comes and says to Maamar, but again, umodim bebeitza trefa shasura mipnei shegadla biisur. Okay, so now what does it sound like? It sounds like beitzim of a trefa are asura. Again, assuming that we're talking about beitzim that were created later, right? Because they were gadla biisur. So it sounds like she can actually create more eggs, and that seems to go against what he assumed. So Amalei, hatam b'deshich l'kama. So what is the answer? When they said beitza trefa, they meant the first eggs, the ones who were already inside her to begin with. So now we have the question that before it was kind of given as an answer to our question. Now we're going to, right, because last time we said, why didn't we say that was talking about the shich l'kama? And they answered, why? Now we're going to say, we assume it's talking about the shich l'kama, and now we're going to question, how could that be? Im kein gadla doesn't make any sense. Gadla sounds like it was created. Gamrami baile, it should have said finished, right? They ended their time inside her, you know, in a problematic manner. So what's the simple answer? The way they usually answer, tenei gamra, change the word of gadla to gamra. That's really what it meant. Whoever said it kind of, you know, passed it over in the wrong word. They messed up the word. They got confused. So really it should say gamra. Okay, and that resolves it, and then that source is talking about the shich l'kama. So now they say, okay, well, let's go further now. Elaha detanya Vlad Shreifa, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Lo Yikrav L'Gabei Mizbeach, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yikrav, B'mai Kamif L'Gei. Now at this point, and here I underline the difference, you can't say it's B'nitrafah L'Vasof Ibra, because she can't get pregnant, according to this version. So what must it be? It must be Kishi Ibra U'L'Vasof Nitrafah. Right? That we're talking, a Vlad Shreifa is a Vlad that was already in the animal to begin with, right? And she was already pregnant. Then she became a treifa, and then there's a machloket, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, can you bring this on the Mizbech? So now, what's going to be the root of the machloket? Do you say Ubar Yerechimo or not? And as we thought, that was obvious. But now they're saying that's the subject of a machloket. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Ubar Yerech Imohu. We treat the Ubar exactly as its mother. Whatever the status of the mother is, that's the status of the Ubar. Rabbi Yoshua Savar, Ubar Lav Yerech Imohu. We don't treat it the same. Okay? And then again, a Maimar who held that the Shichla Kama would be okay, would be a problem if she's a Treifa, would be holding what? That Ubar is Yerech Imohu. But it's a subject of machloket, right? And according to this, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, right? Because remember, it was all a suffix, and the whole question is it a treifa or not? If you find out she's a treifa, then the shichla kam is going to be asur because ubar yerech imo. So then they say, well, ihachi, here comes our question. Ademif legei legavoa liflegu lehedyot. If the whole thing is, is it ubar yerech imo, then it should not be a machloket only for a korban. Then this is the exact same question. We're going to see this part is going to be the exact same answer. You can see there's no, right? In all the other cases, all the other parts of the discussion here, there was a difference. Here it's going to be exactly the same. They're going to answer again, lehodi achako chod Rabbi Yoshua, right? That he's matir even in Gavoa. Then they say, the liflegu behedyot lehodi achako chod Rabbi Lezer. So why don't you just say, let's say they're arguing about a regular case, not in the Mikdash, but can you eat it or not, to show how strong Rabbi Elazar that he's even machmir there. So again, koch te'atera adifle. We'd rather highlight the koch of the one who matirs. Umodim, now we're going back to, again, how do they understand the modim? This is just, again, the summary line to review what we already said before. Umodim vaday bebeitza trefa shasuha is b'shichla kama. Right, that's talking about the shichla kama, that the beitza treifa asura is only the shichla kama because there's no such thing as a beitza treifa where the eggs were conceived later or created later. Okay, my taima. So now, how did as everyone agree about this? But the shichla kama, if there's a machloket ubar yerechimo, so what are the answer? My taima gufahi. They view, even if you say, now Ubar Yerachimo is said about an animal, not about eggs of a bird. So what they're going to say is that everyone agrees when it comes to eggs of a bird, because they're, okay, so now Rashi, I think it's Rashi who says it, where is it? Right. Rashi says, in the Rashi B'dibor Matcha B'shich Lakama, Dekevan da'agida be'de mu'urebi gidin kegufa damya. The Ubar of an animal is kind of in its own separate place, right? Attached by the umbilical cord. But the eggs are surrounded or attached by these sinews to the hen itself. And therefore, they say it's actually part of the bird. Even if you would say that Ubar is not Yerechimo, when it comes to the eggs of a bird, we're going to treat that differently. And therefore, everyone agrees with the Beitza Treifa of the Shechla Kama that it's Asura. Again, you can't say everyone agrees. That's according to this reading of the story, right? It's everyone agrees in this version that that's what it is. Okay. The Hilchita, now they're going to say the Halacha is, now how do we, what's the Halacha about the Treifa in general? Can we assume a Treifa can have offspring or not? And what else is what's the criteria for something being a treifa? So now they distinguish between a nekeva and a zachar. B'zachar, kol shneim asar chodesh, okay, and that's why we keep coming back to this, that we always say that's our standard, because it says so in the Gemara here. In a zachar, we're going to say, if it can't survive 12 months, that makes it a treifa. B'nekeva. And in a female, kol she'en ayoledet. Okay, if she can't conceive, then we know that she's a treifa. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, now we're moving on to something else. Kol b'riah she'ein bo etzem, eino mitkayem yud bechodesh. Now we're going to talk about exceptions. there's certain things, that there's certain creatures that don't have bones in them. Okay, any of the creatures that don't have bones, okay, like creepy crawlers and things like that, enomet kayem yubechodesh, doesn't normally live 12 months, okay? No, right? They don't normally live 12 months. Amara Papa, so now what's the relevance of this? Shma mina mi de Rav Huna says, we can infer from Rav Huna the following halacha. Hada Amar Shmuel, kishot shehitzliya be'eveha asura. Okay, what does he say? There's a tolat, okay, so it's, the pasuk says about shretzim, that kol ha-sharetz ha-sharetz ala aretz, right, which sounds like it has to be have crawling on the ground. What if you have a worm that was kind of hatched inside a fruit? So it hasn't crawled on the ground yet, okay? So what do they say? A kishut, which is a type of, they call it a, in the Quran, what do they call it? It's like a green, a serpent melon, okay? They explain it as, what do they say it is though? Actually, I don't know, I've never heard of a serpent melon. But it's not actually a melon, it sounds like it's some sort of cucumber. Right, it's a type of cucumber that's called a serpent melon. It's the Armenian cucumber. Okay? So an Armenian cucumber, okay, what's unique about it? That it's, while it's still attached to the ground, if a worm grows inside of it, since it's still attached to the ground, therefore it's considered as if it was already Shoretz ala aretz. Okay? So, and now, what's the issue here? Kol ha-sharetz, sheretz ha-sharetz ala aretz is asur ba'achila. So if it hasn't been sheretz ala aretz, it's not going to be asur ba'achila. So therefore, kishochi hitzliya be'eveha, if while it was still attached to the ground, it was worm infested, asura. It's going to be forbidden because of the worms inside it. Hane tmare dekada, if you have tmarim in that also became infested. But here, 1 second. Kada as a
in a container.
Right, in a container. That's what I assumed. In a kad. Okay, so there are tamarim that are in a container. Okay, so now at this point, they're in a container, which means they're no longer in the ground. Now the question is, when do the worms get there? So they're infested with worms. Now, if the worm, now what was the whole thing? What did he say? Anything that doesn't have bones won't last 12 months. So if you have, and what kind of sherets are we worried about? We're worried about worms that were hatched while it was in the ground. We're not worried about worms that were hatched while it was in the jug, the container. So therefore, if you have tamarim in a container, libatar tresayar chashata, after 12 months passed, sharyan. Even if they're worm infested, they're mutar, because the worms, now go eat these things, okay? That's a whole separate question.
Meat and chicken, and
yes.
Comes to dates.
Yes. So, yeah, I know, they're ruining all of our foods, I agree. So if they're, after 12 months, you can assume that any worm that hatched in there, because a worm won't last more than 12 months. So if it was a worm that was hatched while it was in the ground, well, we don't have to worry about them anymore, because they must be dead already, and they're not actually alive. But therefore, anything that's in there is not going to be a problem. Okay. Amarav, late baka bar yoma, v'late didva bat shata. Okay, a baka is a type of, Rashi says a minzvuf, a type of mosquito or a gnat. Doesn't last more than a day. And a didva, another type of mosquito type thing. Okay, called the didva, lasts only a year. Okay, so one lasts only a day, one lasts only a year. So, here goes our interesting question for today. Okay, every day they throw in something kind of out there. Amar le Rav Papa la baye, v'ha amre inshe, don't people say, okay, this is, people give these, right, quips, they have these things that they say. This is what people say. They tell the story, right, like old wives' tales, okay? So people tell the story of this. Shev shnei imra bakta, bakta mi baka. There were 7 years where I find this ad is very interesting. For 7 years, the female mosquito was angry and rebelled against her husband, you know, her mate, I should say, right? Her mate, the male mosquito. De amre le, she said to him, chazite levar mechoza de sacha b'maya, besalik v'ikrach besedinin. Okay, she was angry at him because of the following thing. She said, I saw that, well, she actually, chazite means you found. You found the guy from Bechoza. Okay, Rashi says the people of Bechoza were known to be fat. Okay, they had a lot of fat in them and blood and, you know, all the good stuff for the mosquitoes. Desacha b'maya, you saw him swimming in the water. V'salik, v'ikrach v'stinim, and he got out and he went and wrapped himself in a sheet. V'otivat aleu matzat mine, and you went and sucked out his blood. You know, you gave him like a good serious bite. V'loho datali, and you didn't tell me. So you didn't share him with me, right? So classic, right? The woman says to the husband, you were only thinking of yourself, right? That's all you were thinking about. She was angry with him for 7 years. Now, what's the point of this story?
7 years.
7 years. How did they survive? 7 years. They say they only live, right? If it's, right, the baka only lives a day. So Amar Leh, Vilit Amech. So he says, if you're going to question me on that, I'll say to you, look at this. What about this quip that people say? Hadamre inshe shitin mane parzolo talile labaka bikur nise. Where it stings from, they say, okay, the sting of this mosquito is so harsh that they say 60 portions of barzel, of iron, are hung on the mosquito where, on the, I don't know what part, the kur nise, where he stings from, I guess, okay? In other words, there's so much iron on it, you know, it's so hard, it's so painful, his sting. Mi'ika, right? Is there such a thing, right? Iu gufa kamave. How much does he weigh in general, right? He obviously doesn't weigh 60 portions worth of iron. Ela bimane didhu. When it says that, it means in mosquito portions, okay? 60 mosquitoes worth of, you know, whatever it is. Hachanami b'shnei didhu. Here it means in the life of a mosquito, okay? In the years of a mosquito. And as if you look at a mosquito and you say, the mosquito has a 1 day to live, so his day compared to our lifespan, right? His lifespan, it was the amount of time that within that day, let's say, you know, most of that day, she was angry with him, right? Which I was thinking, it's so interesting, right? It's when you think about arguments between husband and wife, right? Sometimes you get so upset about it, it feels like 7 years, right? And then, like, the next day you forget about it, but it can feel like, and maybe that's also what they're getting at. Okay. Tnan Hatam. It says in the Mishnah, Behema Ba'alat, now we're talking about a new issue. Behema Ba'alat Chamisha Raglayim, O She'en La'ela Shalosh. Okay, if you have something extra or something missing, you either have an extra leg or one less leg. Hare Zem Mum. Okay, this is a mum in an animal. Okay, this is a Mishnah, I guess in Bechorot. Amar Rav Huna, because it's talking about Mum and Bechor. Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela shechaser v'yater b'yad. Aval chaser v'yater b'regel trefa nami havya. And he says like this. This is for a Mum. So for a Mum, that's only going to be relevant, and it's going to be relevant only to Mum and not also to trefa if it's missing on its front legs. But if it's missing or has an extra on its hind legs, that's also a trefa. My taima, what's the reason why is this a trefa? It's particularly the yeter, the chaser, we can understand. But why is a yeter, to have an extra one, going to make it a trefa? Kol yeter kinatul dami. Anything extra is as if it's missing. Now that sounds strange. So there's a bunch of different explanations given. The one that made the most sense to me, I'll quote, is that you're free to go research your own stuff. That if it has something extra, then the part of the body it's attached to has to work harder because it's dealing with two. You know, it's kind of the more sometimes weakens because you now have more to deal with in the body and it causes another part to be weaker. Okay, so now we're going to talk about animals with extra parts and see, is it really true that they're all trefas? There were two sanyas that we remember we called it the me'ayim ha'iver. It's part of some part within the inner area. It was one of the options of what I think maybe the keres ha'pnimi was. I think, yeah, it was one of the options for what the keres ha'pnimi. We had a lot of options about what the keres ha'pnimi was. That was one of them. Tarte sanya devi, it had two of those. Right, that means blind me'ayim. Aituha liravina, he brought it before Ravina, vitarfa, and he said it's trefa, midravuna. Based on, right, what Rav Huna said, that, remember, what did Rav Huna say? Lo shanu ala chaser v'yater b'yad, aval chaser v'yater b'regel, trefa. If it's a main part of the animal, and this is an important part, it's trefa. V'ishapchan lahadadek shera. But if one pours into the other, then they're really viewed only as one, and then it's okay. Hahi guvta dehavanavka mibei kase luhuvlila. There was a tube that went in between the beit hakosot into the hemses. Remember, those were two of the stomachs. So there was a tube, like an extra part, that went in between. Sever of Ashi Lemitrafa, because it seemed like there was this extra part. Amarle Rapuna Mar Bachia Le Rav Ashi. Kolhane Chive Baryata Hachi Lehu. That's not a trefa. Now here again it gets to how well do you know your animals? So he says to him, oh, don't you know? All the wild animals actually have that tube, so it's not actually an extra part. It's something that's typical in certain animals. Ha'uguvta, again there was a tube, to have a ma'avara mibe kase lekresa. So now there was one going from the beit hakosot to the keres, right? That's to a different stomach. So there was a tube there. So savar mar Rav Ashi lachshura. Mar Rav Ashi said, oh, just like the tube between the beit hakosot and the hemses was okay, so this must also be okay. So amar le Rav Hoshaya, atu kulu b'chada mechiyata machtinu? What, you put everything in the same category? A tube there, right? This sounds classic, right? They don't really understand what you know. Oh, a tube. Okay, there's two between those two stomachs. Right, to us it looks exactly the same. Okay, a tube between those two stomachs, two between those two stomachs. He says, hechad itmar itmar, hechad lo itmar lo itmar. In other words, if we said that there's an extra tube in these other animals, these wild animals, between those two parts, but not between those two stomachs. Heid natam brashila rav, natam brashila, rav tabachaya de tzipore, right? He was the main tabach in tzipore lifnei Rebbe. So he testified before Rebbe. Al shnei b'nei me'ayim hayotzim min ha-behema ke'echad shehi trefa. Right, interesting. Here you have, it's classic, the tabachim are telling Rebbe, right, what the situation is because they understand it much better. So he says when there's two b'nei me'ayim that come out of one animal, two inner, right, two intestines, that's going to be a trefa. However, in a bird, that's more typical. Okay, there's a debate. Is it because it's typical, because that sometimes happens, or is it because it doesn't actually cause the animal to die? It could be it's not typical, it's atypical in a bird, but it wouldn't cause the death of the animal, and therefore it wouldn't cause it to be a trefa. Now, b'medvarim amurim, that it's going to be a trefa, sheyotzim b'shnei mekomot. Okay, remember, from the intestine, it goes to the anus and releases all the feces. So if there's two yitziot, two places, right, where there's these two intestines and there's a hole in each kind of where things are coming out from, then it's a problem. Aval yotzim b'makom echad v'kalim ad ke'etzba k'shera. But if they both exit into the same place and they're next to each other with one finger's breadth, right, the one width of your finger, which is a very small space, then it's k'shera. Pligi bar Rav Ami Rav Asi. Rav Ami and Rav Asi disagreed a little bit about what the reality here is. Chanamar hu de hadre va'arve, v'chanamar afagav de lo hadre va'arve. One says what they're talking about is when the two merge together, and the other's talking about when the two don't merge together. So now they say, wait, it doesn't make any sense according to what we just said. Because bishlam alaman amar hu de hadre va'arve. If you say they merge, hainu de katane ad ke'etzva, right? It says that they come together to the width of a finger's breadth, which sounds like they merge. Ela lamanda amar afagav de lo hadre varve. But if you say they don't merge, my ad ke'etzba. So what do they say? Ad ke'etzba mi lamata. What he means is, even if you say they don't merge, it means they don't merge above, but when they at the very bottom, they do merge. According to the other opinion, they merge entirely. Okay, now we're back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im nitzlah hanotzah psula. This is if the down, the feathers on the bird all are removed, right? It's psula. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel, amru davar echad. Okay, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel both say the same thing. We've seen this many times where they collect opinions and they say, oh, he said something there, he said something there, he said something there. They all seem to be of the same school of thought. I saw an interesting footnote in the Steinsaltz that in the Koran that it says that when they say this, I never saw this until now, that when they say this, what they're saying is this is what we call a shita, it's like an approach, and it's usually, as some of the commentaries believe, that this kind of, when they say that, it's all to say we don't hold by these people. In other words, it's to say there's some sort of shita here, I can't think of the word for shita, there's an approach to things. They all seem to have the same approach, but we don't hold by that approach. Not everybody agrees with that, but that there is a line of thinking among some of the commentaries that it's a way of saying to reject them, basically. If you remember, once we did I did some research and saw that there were certain people who do this more often than other people. It's like I think Abaye was one who said it many, many times in the Gemara, where he puts together all these shitot. There was another person, I can't remember if it was Rabbi Yochanan specifically, but there were two people who it came up very frequently. They're the ones who mainly say these statements, but there are a few others who say it once in a while, but it was more common among certain people. So Rabbi Yehuda Hadamaran, that's what we just saw. Rabbi Yishmael, Ditna, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Hanotza Mitztarefet. Okay, what's he talking about? He's saying the Hanotza is... second, I'm blanking now on what it, right? Mitzarefet for what issue? Too many things
in the
back of
your
head.
Down is skin or
right. This is for pigul. Okay, for the purposes of pigul, in order. Okay, let's go back to pigul. Pigul is when you have a machshava while you're doing, let's say, malika, because we're talking about a bird. While you're doing the malika, the shefting of the bird, you have a machshava. Remember, it is only in the Beit HaMikdash. You have a machshava that you're going to. Eat it in the wrong time. But now, in order to be chayav and pigul, first of all, chayav and pigul means you then eat it, which you're not allowed to, right? Or you have a machshava that you're going to burn it in the wrong time, right? And then again, the issur is to eat it, and you're chayav karet. In the wrong place or in the wrong time, and then, right, only in the wrong time, you chayav karet. In the wrong place, you're not chayav karet. You know, you have the intent, you're going to eat it, or in the wrong time, in the wrong place. But now, you have to have thought you're going to do it a kizayit. Okay, if you don't have a thought about a kizayit, it's not relevant. So what if you thought that you're going to eat a portion of skin and feathers? Now, feathers aren't generally something people eat. So is that mitzaref to the kizayit? Okay, let's say you have a thought about a small part of the skin and the feathers. Do they combine? So he says the feathers do combine. So what do you see? He views the feathers as part of the meat, you know, the important part of the animal, which is just like Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the feathers, remember, whenever they combine these shittot, they're not exactly saying the same thing, but he's saying the basis of it is the same, that the feathers are critical. Amarava, Dilmalohi. Rava says, why are you combining these things? Maybe it's not the case. Maybe Akan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hacha, elalinyan trefa, deleka midi de magenale. Maybe he's saying for a trefa there's a problem because there's nothing protecting the animal, it will die. Avalina nifluge kirabana svirale, but in terms of pigo, they'd say, like chachamim, that it's not mitzarev because it's not edible. Va'akano kam Rabbi Shmuel hatam elalina nifluge, and you can also say the reverse. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. He says in terms of pigo, because he says people can actually eat it. Avalina trefa igune leomegan, but when it comes to trefa, he doesn't think that it protects the animal, the notzot. So we wouldn't necessarily call it a trefa. So therefore, you can't necessarily say that one connects with the other. Okay, we'll just do the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talks about diseases that, or things that affect the animal that more make the animal what we call a misukenet. We saw before that a misukenet can be slaughtered. A trefa is where there's something in one of the inner organs that's a problem. Being just sick isn't necessarily going to make you a trefa. That just means you're going to die soon, but that is not a problem of being a trefa. A trefa is where there's something wrong with one of the internal organs or something where the animal has some gum that won't allow it to survive. So here's a bunch of cases. Ahuzat dam. There's a lot of blood in the animal. The animal kind of chokes, it's choking on it, congested with blood. Me'ushenet. It's full of smoke inhalation and can't, you know, it's having trouble breathing. Mitsunenet, all congested, right, from mucus. Shachlah or dufni, which is a poison that kills animals. Vishachlat so'at tarnagolim, which is also obviously from the Mishnah that this is dangerous, eating the feces of the roosters. O sheshatat mayim haraim, okay, or it drank. Okay, these are all like an external thing that causes some problem, but it doesn't actually ruin any of your inner organs. It just gives you a disease that you're going to die from. So drinking mayim ra'im, some people say it's dirty water. Some people say it's the water that the snake put its poison in that we talked about, mayim migulim. Achlas sam hamavet, but if it ate a drug that kills humans, o shechisha nachash, okay, or a snake bit it, muteret, those are also... I'm sorry. Muteret mishum trefa. Okay, these are also muteret mishum trefa. But asura mishum sakanat nefashot. But you can't eat that bird, because if you eat it, this goes back to something, Shari, you said a very long time ago, which is, if these birds are sick, how are we talking about, or these animals are sick, how are we talking about eating them? So here they're distinguishing between diseases in animals or birds specifically that wouldn't cause people to, actually I wonder, this probably isn't just birds. This is animals, I assume. We're talking about animals. Yeah, animals. So we're talking about things that would be, right, cause them to be sick and they would die, but it doesn't make them a trefa. However, there's certain things that if they eat, then we'll die from them if we eat them, and therefore they're not trefas, but we shouldn't eat them. Mishum sakanat nefashot. Okay, we'll stop here.
Then you can make the argument that kashrut and trefa doesn't have anything to do with health.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
Masorah.
Exactly. And then it's not health related, because here we're talking about sakana, and that's just halacha, exactly. It seems like it's not necessarily directly health related.
I still can't understand.